Have your Bibles this morning. We'd like to ask you to please turn to the book of Zephaniah. Probably the easiest way for you to find that is to start in Matthew and then back up about four books. You should be around the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1. I pray that God will help us as we try to study from His holy word, and I ask all of you to be praying that God will help us. We might learn from His word, that we might learn from mistakes that other people have made, and that we might not make those same mistakes, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as God has dealt with His people in days gone by, God will continue to deal with His people in every generation. Reading now from Zephaniah chapter 1, I'll read, just going to touch on a few verses and then come down to verse 12. The beginning of the book opens by saying that this is the word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. Just remember this mainly. This is the word of Zephaniah. It's the word of God that came to Zephaniah during the reign of Josiah, the king of Judah. And here's what God said in verse 2. He says, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. God was prophesying destruction was coming to Judah and to Jerusalem. He says in verse 4, He says, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And come down now to verse 12. Just understand, God is telling Zephaniah to tell the children of Israel, to tell Judah and Jerusalem that God was going to come and to destroy their land. Look now, please look in your Bibles at Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 12. Verse 12 says, And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, The Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy. For He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Those are words that God spoke to His people in Judah. They're frightening words when you think about what He's saying about the day of the Lord coming. And usually you think about the day of the Lord, you might think, oh, what a glorious day, the day of the Lord. But in the Bible, when the Word of God speaks about the day of the Lord, it's always talking about, at least as far as I can remember right now, it's always talking about judgment. It's a day of judgment, a day that God's going to come and carry out judgment primarily because of the sins of His people in whatever land it is that He's talking about. And right here, though the Word of God is speaking specifically to Judah and Jerusalem, I hope all of us understand that when we meet the same criteria, when we are in the same condition as Judah and Jerusalem were right here, when we're in that same condition, then these words will apply to us also. I want us to go back to verse 12. Notice verse 12. The scripture says, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees." Now, lees is not a word that we usually use today, but the word lees has to do with the definition in the dictionary. It's the most worthless part of anything. The most worthless part of anything. In the scripture, it usually is talking about the dregs. Most of you remember that used to when we made coffee, there were grounds of coffee that were left over, and those grounds of coffee are like the dregs. That would be the lees, or the most useless part of anything. What God is saying is that the people of God, they become lazy, they become vain, and they're useless. They're of no value. It's much like what Jesus says in the New Testament when he says that when the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. So the lees, sometimes the people of God are just settled on their lees. They're useless. They're vain. They're of no value. They lack zeal. They lack commitment. They lack dedication. Their fervency is not toward God, but their fervency and their desire is toward the things of the world. And so it is that God says that he's going to come and he's going to search out Jerusalem with candles. And those men that are settled on their lees, God's going to bring his judgment on them. And here's what those people that are settled on their lees, this is what they say in their heart. Look at the wording here. He says, they say in their heart, "The Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil." Now that's the general attitude, I think, that prevails in America today, is that the people are often thinking and feeling, or even if they believe in God, they're thinking, you know, the Lord is not going to do anything in a major way. He's not going to do anything wonderful for those that are obedient. He's not going to help us. He's not going to bless us, but he's not going to harm us. The Lord's not going to do good, neither will he do evil. Now, the word evil is used two different ways in the Bible. Sometimes the word evil has reference to sin. God never does evil in that way. But the Lord does often do evil in the second way that the word evil is used. And the other way that the word evil is used is talking about bringing trouble and distress and problems. It's talking about bringing judgment into the lives of God's people, bringing severe judgment. So the people are saying, at least they're saying in their heart, of course they wouldn't dare utter that, but they're saying in their heart, by their actions and by the way they're living, they're saying in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. The Lord will not help, but the Lord will not harm. The Lord will not bless, but certainly the Lord would not curse. There are many people today that don't know God. Many people today that don't know what the Word of God teaches. And so there in many places, I think this is the prevalent attitude among Christianity today, is the Lord's not going to do anything major to help us. But certainly he's not going to do anything to bring major destruction on our land. The Lord's not going to do good, neither will he do evil. Now that attitude led to the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah. And that attitude that the Lord will not do good, the Lord will not help, the Lord will not bless, the Lord will not reward his faithful people, but neither will he bring severe judgment on those that do wrong. He won't do any one of those things in a major way. Brethren, I believe with all of my heart, one of the most important things for you and I to hear and understand and believe is the Lord will do good for those that follow him and keep his commandments. Amen. The Lord will do good, And the other thing we better also remember, just as emphatically, is the Lord will do evil. The Lord will bring severe judgment into our lives when we walk contrary to His word and His way. When we let other things come between us and God and serving God and worshiping God, we better believe the Lord will do evil. We say in our hearts, by our actions, oh, the Lord won't do anything major good. The Lord won't do anything major evil either. The fact is, God does do major good. And God does do major evil. I want us this morning to begin by going to Romans 11. Hold your finger here. Well, you just turn to Romans 11. I'll just periodically be referring back to Zephaniah 1:12, where the scripture says that the people were saying in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. Go to Romans chapter 11. The Word of God here is, of course, talking about how God will judge His people, whether it's Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter whether people are rich or poor. Doesn't matter whether they are intelligent or whether they're very unintelligent. It does not matter the socioeconomic status of people. God judges His people in every age and generation according to the light of the Word of God that they have. Romans chapter 11, the Word of God says in verse 22 that there's something we need to look at. There's something we need to concentrate on. There's something that we need to think about. Romans 11, verse 22, first word says, behold. That means look at this. Think about this. Behold, therefore, the goodness. Now, what do those people back there in Zephaniah 1:12, what do they say? Oh, the Lord will not do good. Can we look through the Bible and find God doing good to some people? Can we find bountiful blessings to God's people throughout the pages of God's Word? Can we find numerous ways that God has done good? And so God says here now, behold, look at that goodness. I encourage you to go home and write down on some pages, write down some people that you know that God did good things for them. Write down a lot of those good things that God has done for His people. Write down about Abraham and Sarah. How though they were 100 years old and they longed for children, and God performed a great miracle. And Sarah conceived and brought forth a child. What a marvelous good work, a miracle that God performed in their lives. And you can just go page after page and you can see the Lord doing great and wonderful things for His people. And then you can, after the scripture says, behold, therefore, the goodness. It says, and, here's something else to look at now. Behold the goodness and severity of God. Now that severity is the same thing as evil back there in Zephaniah 1:12, where the people were saying in their heart, oh, the Lord will not do good, but neither will He do evil. He won't bring severe judgments in people's lives. I remember hearing a preacher one time after I had preached at a minister's meeting and preached about the judgment of God on King David, and God took that child. One of the preachers stood up and said, I don't believe God took that child. I don't believe that God would do such a thing as that. Another preacher stood up and said, well, I'll tell you what. And his arm was in a cast. He said, I was cutting a tree down at the church and I fell out of the tree and I broke my arm. And he said, as soon as it happened, God let me know the reason that I broke my arm was something I'd been doing. And another preacher got up and said, oh, God wouldn't do anything like that. Let me tell you something, brethren. You'd be shocked at what God does in our lives if you could just open your eyes and see what God's doing. Behold, therefore, look at the goodness and severity. I'll tell you, the more you look at the goodness of God, the more you look at how God blesses His people abundantly when they follow Him, it'll move you and motivate you. I want to serve Him more. Look at the goodness of God that God has done for you. Has God been good to you? Has God blessed you? Listen, brethren, if you didn't have a single blessing in this world, if you were born a cripple and you never walked a day in your life, if you didn't have mental ability to even get into the first grade, if you didn't have anything in this world, if you never owned anything in this world, the only thing that God had ever done for you is to save you from your sins. You owe God everything you've ever, you can need to praise Him and glorify Him every day in your life. You need to thank God for His goodness in your life because you did not deserve to be saved from your sins. God's been good to every one of us. I need to look at the goodness of God. And God has been so good to me and to you. Doesn't matter what our troubles are, our problems are, God still daily loads us with benefits every day of our lives. And we better be looking at the goodness of the Lord. And David, on one occasion in Psalm 27, he said he would have fainted unless he had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Have you ever been in the land of the living? Have you ever been in the land of the living? I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven. You ever been in the land of the living? Isn't it a wonderful blessing when the Lord manifests His goodness and mercy and grace? And in spite of all the ways we fall short, He lifts us up and blesses us to not only look forward to being in heaven when we die, but He lifts us up and He blesses us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful God we have. How good the Lord is to me and to you. Behold, therefore, the goodness of the Lord. What are some people saying in their heart? What are most people saying in their heart? Same thing as Zephaniah 1:12. That most people are saying in their heart, the Lord will not do good. Oh, we live in a different age. The Lord wouldn't perform miracles today. I'm here to tell you, God's performed a lot of miracles in every one of you, your lives. God has performed miracles in your life. God has done great things for you. Look at how good. How can you count the number of blessings? How can you measure the value of the good things that God has done for you? One of the songwriters says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. You go home today and you count your blessings. You go home today and you write down not just the goodness of God on the saints of God from the Word of God, but you go home and you write down, you behold the goodness of God in your life. Behold the goodness and severity of God. Brethren, the severity of God is more frightening. The wrath of God, the judgments of God. Our God is merciful. He is gracious. Our God is loving. But our God is also a jealous God. And our God is a consuming fire. And the people of God do not want to hear about the rest of the story concerning God. It was God who brought the flood and covered this earth and destroyed everybody on the face of the earth. It was not a freakish accident in nature. It was God that sent the flood on this earth. It was God that sent fire and brimstone down from heaven on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't describe just the love of God. Describe not only the love and the mercy and the grace of God. Don't just look at the goodness of God. Look at the goodness of God. But also, behold the severity of God. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity. Look at the severity of God. When you're writing down all those pages about all the people in the Bible that you can think about, that God was so good to them and God did wonderful things to them, I want you to take another page. You write down some of the severity of God. You write down some people that experienced some of the severity of God. And then I want you to write down some of the times in your life that you have felt the chastening hand of God in your life. Have you ever felt the chastening hand of God in your life? It's real. It's real. It is real. And if He's never brought you to your knees, if you've never felt the chastening hand of God, well, the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. But he that is without chastisement, if ye be without chastisement, then are ye bastards and not sons. We don't like to think about what bastards are. We don't talk about bastards today. because there are so many bastards running around in this world that you need to get your dictionary out and look at what a bastard is. You need to think about the severity of not being chastened by God is you're a bastard. That's what the Bible says. Then are you bastards and not sons. You're not a child of God if you've never chastened the Lord. Has God done some severity in your life? Yes, He has. He says then, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, what? On them which fell, what did God bring? Severity, but toward thee goodness if. That's a little bitty word, if. That means it's conditional. The goodness of God, as is often expressed in the Scriptures, not always. There's the goodness of God that is not based on conditions, but there's the goodness of God that is based on conditions. And the goodness He's talking about here toward thee, goodness if thou continue in His goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. If you and I, if we don't continue in God's goodness, if we don't continue in God's Word, the same thing that happened to those people back there in Zephaniah 1, 12 through the end of that chapter, the same thing that happened to them, God will come with candles and He'll search out America. Did you know God's fixing to do that or is already doing that? God is searching out with candles. He's searching out every dark place, every cavity, every evil thing. He's finding it out and He's going to send forth His destroying angels on those that are settled on their lees. And they are saying in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. That's what they say in the heart. I think that sometimes I sometimes say in my heart, by my actions, not out loud, but sometimes I say in my heart, the Lord's not going to do anything about this. He's not really going to punish me. He will. God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the Lord will bring His judgment. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. And the Lord will bring His goodness. See, sometimes the Scripture says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, says that we need to be let us not be weary in well-doing. Do good. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if ye faint not. You see, as we're doing good, what's the promise? God will bless. God will reward. I believe with all of my heart, listen, brethren, the people that started this little church, people that started it in 1955, they went through years and years and years of lean times. They went through times where they had hardly anyone here, where there would be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people here. And they went through those lean times, but they kept serving the Lord, and they were faithful to God. And the reason the house of God is full today is because, I think part of the reason, is because of the faithfulness of those old saints back there. That they continued to do well. Some of them even lived to see the house of God full. Does God do good? Does God do good? Does He do evil? Does He bring chastening? Go with me very quickly back to the Old Testament. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, mostly what I want you to do today is I want you to go home and search God's Word. You see, the Scripture says the saints at Berea were more noble than those at Thessalonica because they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures whether those things are so or not. So I want to encourage you to go home and write these things down. If you don't get them written down, you call me and I'll give you a list. But I want you, if you don't do anything else today or tomorrow or this week, I want you to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want you to read, if you don't do anything else this week in the Bible, I want you to read Deuteronomy 28 because the first 14 verses is talking about how good God is to His people that obey His voice. And then starting in verse 15 and going through the end of the chapter, verse 68, from verses 15 through 68, all of those verses are talking about judgment, severity on those that do not keep His commandments. But he begins talking about the goodness of Lord. Brethren, I don't believe you can read Deuteronomy 28 every morning. I don't believe you can read it every morning without thinking about the Lord is good to them that serve Him, and the Lord does pour out evil in the lives of those who do not. Deuteronomy 28, beginning with the first verse, the scripture says, Deuteronomy 28, beginning verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently what's the next word? Are these conditional promises here? The goodness of God's going to be poured out now, capital I, capital F, if. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Do you think God set the United States up on high above all nations of the earth? Do you know why God did such a thing as that? It's because of his mercy and grace, yes. But it's also because our founding fathers loved God, feared God, believed God. They believed they would see the goodness of God, and they also believed in the severity of God. They feared God, and they trusted in God. They put on the coins, in God we trust. They, by their lives, they knew. It makes a difference how you live. Verse 2 says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. That means you can't get away from them. The blessings are going to come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Come down to verse 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee in seven ways. Look at verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Come down to verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after the other gods to serve them. Beautiful promises, aren't they? You know what we're looking at in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14? What are we looking at? The goodness of the Lord. Have you seen the goodness of the Lord? What's Deuteronomy 28, verse 15? What's the first word there? But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Not going to read this whole chapter, but do you understand the gist of what's being said here? Cursings, cursings, cursings. Let me tell you something. Listen very carefully, brethren. Listen carefully. God is not pleased when he's called you to be separate from the world and you intermingle with the world. You have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. People that live as ungodly as anybody can possibly live. There's no difference. You just hug them and have fellowship with them and just love them all. There's no shunning. There's no putting away. There's no real separation taking place. It's just live and let live. And que sera, sera. God is not slack concerning his promise. He will do good and he will do evil. May God help us to believe his word is my prayer for Christ's sake.